It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Glad you are here with us. Both myself and my co-host here, we both are financial advisors. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them with their finances. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And we talk about things that are occurring in the economy. We talk about some financial planning tips. We take your calls, answer questions, and just have a dang good time doing this.
That's it. Never more fun than listening to this show.
Oh. And our objective is so that you have a relatively good time. As good a time as you could have listening to talk radio.
Yes.
So, about financial matters.
So I'd like to talk today about what is the right number to retire? What is the right number? What's it look like? Because how many clients come into the office and say, well, I don't know if I have enough? I've never heard anyone say I have too much money to retire.
No, I haven't heard that one. I've got too much money.
I've never heard that.
Hey, no more returns, please. I've got too much here.
Well, and what makes me think of it, I met with someone the other day who's in the husband and wife in their late 60s, had a multi-million dollar portfolio, and they were afraid they did not have enough money to retire. And the rate of return they needed in order to retire comfortably on that portfolio was 2%.
Yeah, I think retirement is probably in their clearly the financial. And our objective is to not necessarily tell people to retire as soon as you've got the money. That's not...
Well, correct. Because for some people, retirement isn't actually a good thing.
Correct.
Some people need to continue work just for the social aspect.
I mean, there's some people... I'm glad Bill Gates did not retire.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, yeah, you're correct. Yeah.
Clearly he's adding a lot to society, to mankind, by his
he's out there mowing his lawn.
Who was I talking to the other day? What was he... He talked about he was doing something with his sprinklers or something, and I said, oh, you must be retired, right? He says, yeah. I'm thinking, that's why I haven't... It's been a while since I've worked on my sprinklers.
He was out there moving them 8 inches to the left, right?
Anyway, so we'll talk about really what does it take to be financially prepared for retirement?
What is the number? And for everyone, it is a completely different number.
Yeah. And, of course, we'll take your calls, answer your questions regarding financial matters. If you'd like to join the program, our contact number is 916-921-1530. Again, to call in is 921-1530. That's to have your voice on the air, 921-1530. If you'd like to send us a question, you can on our website at questions@moneymatters.com. Just email us questions@moneymatters.com. Or you can text us at 916-229-9999. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, why do we need both text and email? Here's the funny thing about life. It's just life in general. There are so many different messages that ways people can reach me today and various places I need to check. I've got, actually, no, my answer machine at home I never listen to anymore because I don't care. It's all, I forget.
Okay.
I told my wife, why don't we just unplug it? But she doesn't agree with me on that because... If they're going to want to talk to me, they'll figure out how to find me some other way because I'm tired of it. It's all solicitors. But I've got voicemail on my cell phone. I've got voicemail at the office. I've got personal email. I've got work email. I've got Facebook messages. I've got LinkedIn messages. I've got Twitter direct messages.
Do you know how to check your LinkedIn messages?
You mean the picture where it's a picture of a little mail, like an envelope? That in LinkedIn, yes. You got about 82 sitting there.
I probably do.
So as I'm saying, you can text us. As I'm stating that, I'm thinking, how many different ways do we...
Maybe they prefer text. Maybe we should think about the consumer.
The customer. What does the customer actually want?
Yeah, not what do we want.
I mean, What do the listeners...
What do you think you are, General Motors?
What do you mean?
Well, General Motors, that's where they lost their way, is because they lost focus on the customers years ago.
They did?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a 2002.
Ford didn't, but General Motors did.
Why is, what do you, when was this? No one told me. I know we're having all these recalls, but I missed it.
No, years ago, years ago. That's why Ford didn't get bailed out and General Motors did.
I've got a 2002 Yukon XL that is 130 some odd thousand miles.
And do you like it?
I love the car. It's fantastic. The carpet, my wife says it looks like shag carpet now.
Because it's all worn out?
Yeah, it's a high pile of shag look there. Got a rake.
I had an old Suburban. I gave it to the Sacramento Food Bank at Family Services.
Anyway, we're getting off track here already.
Already?
We're just a couple minutes in. So we will talk about what does it take for you to be ready for retirement. And, of course, also talk to some individuals like yourself, 921-1530. And why don't we talk with B. B, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, my question is, I'm not sure how to best position myself. I don't really have a retirement fund. I was self-employed or a contract employee for the last, pretty much the last 20 years.
Okay.
Where I stand now is I have about $6,000 in a 401k. I have about $35,000 in CDs in a money market. But what I do have is I own a home with almost $200,000 in equity. And I also own a condominium, which I only bought 2 years ago, and I have about $100,000 in equity.
And what's the value of the condo?
The value now, it's almost doubled, is about $205,000.
Wow, good for you.
And so you owe $100 on it?
Right.
And what's the interest rate on that?
4%.
All right. And so tell me about your primary residence. What's the value of that?
My primary residence is about $400,000.
And what do you owe on it?
About $190,000.
And what's the interest rate on that?
About 5.2%.
Okay. All right. So what's your question for us?
Well, right now I'm living in the condo, but I plan to move back into my home next year.
Into the condo or into the home? I don't understand.
I want to move back into the home.
Okay.
Now, who's in the home now?
It's being rented out.
Got it.
And are you living in the condo?
Yes.
Okay, so the condo's been your primary residence for the last 2 years.
For the last 2 years, yes.
Okay.
So you can sell it and take advantage of the exemption?
Yes.
All right. Okay. And B, how old I hate to ask this, but how if you were to give me your age, what would it be?
61.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know I'm probably going to work till I can't work anymore. I'm aware of that. But I just want to position myself so when that time comes, I can stay in my home. And I, you know, some people say, oh, hold on to the condo and rent it out. But my house is an old house. It was built in 1947. It's going to need a new roof. It's going to need a lot of things. And I was thinking maybe if I sold the condo, I could pay down the mortgage, possibly. So that's my question. Now, some people say no, hold on to the condo. Some say sell it.
What? How long do you plan on working?
At least another 10, 15 years.
I'm inclined to actually hold on to the condo.
Do you think won't have any trouble with employment the next 10 years?
No, I don't think so.
And what is your income approximately?
$53,000.
The nice thing that she can sell the condo and eliminate all capital gain taxes.
Yeah,
it's been her primary residence.
But
she rents it out. It's going to be then it's going to be an investment, and she's not going to be able to sell it in the future for the same sort of thing.
But she's got no other source of income in retirement other than Social Security, Scott.
How long do you hope to live in? So let's say you're working another 10 or 15 years. Is your hope to live in your house to your dying day?
Yes.
So
that's the challenge. I mean, we're both looking. The challenge is it's a $400,000 home, and you don't have a pension,
and you don't have the. So if I was quite frank, I would say you cannot really afford that house
when you fully retire.
When you fully retire,
you might be able to for the next 10 years.
Yes, but yeah. You probably should be living in the condo permanently and selling the house.
Yeah.
So what if you moved into the house? Lived there the next 10 years, rented out the condo with a plan of trying to get that house paid off or paid down substantially, and with the hopes that you can stay there. But if not, you always have the backup of going back to the condo.
That's a possibility, yeah. I'm not sure.
But the reality is you can't afford that house. That's the reality.
Yeah.
I know, and you
she
don't
can afford it while she's working.
She barely. Barely.
The cost of the condo and the cost of the house, I mean, the payment-wise, it's not a lot different.
It's all the other things that actually go with it.
Okay.
When was the last time you were at the Home Depot?
A month ago? I don't know.
Stick with us here for a second. We got to take a quick break. We do want to kind of, we'd like to
walk through
finish
this
up with
him.
So just stick. It'll be a short break. Hold on just a moment.
Okay.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. We're having a good time this weekend talking about financial matters. 921-1530 if you'd like to join us. Again, that's 921-1530. And we've asked B to hold over the break. B, you still with us?
I sure am.
Here's why we asked you to hold over, because we want to help you, number one. So, but also, I think you're in a situation that a lot of people are in a similar situation, where they're facing retirement age, they've got a home they'd like to stay in or live in, and then the question is there going to be enough financial assets and financial income to enable you to stay in that
And
home?
So here's where we're at. You're 61 years of age. You make about $50,000 a year. You have $6,000 in a 401k, $35,000 in a bank. You have a condo that's worth $205,000. You owe $100 on it, so you got $105,000 in equity. You have a house that is a primary residence, but right now you're renting it out. It's worth $400,000, and you owe $190,000 on it. So if I added up your net worth, right, which is your assets minus your liabilities, you're worth about $350,000, and you're 61 years of age. And if you were to retire and took that $300,000 and put it in an account and took a 5% distribution, let's call it a 6% distribution, mm-hmm. it would be $18,000 a year. I add Social Security on top of that, you're probably at about...
she can wait till age 70 for Social Security. It's certainly
correct.
What kind of Social Security are you going to get? Because you said you've worked...
as a contractor.
Yeah, but I mean, the first 20 years I worked, you know.
Okay, got it. And it's based upon your highest 35 years of working Social Security.
This is a tough question, because I'm not you, and you have an emotional attachment.
But it might be worth it for B for the next 10 or 15 years to stay in her house, the house she wants to live in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So part of it is Wayne, and you obviously realize you can't retire at 61, although you have colleagues or friends that are 61 that aren't working anymore. But
right.
I mean, that's
and she has friends that actually go to work and don't work. from a purely financial perspective, you'd be better off selling the house.
The bigger the house, the more it's going to cost. All across
from
the board.
From a purely financial perspective, you're better off.
Roofing, updating the bathrooms periodically, air conditioning, heating. I mean, all that stuff. The bigger the house, the more it costs to upkeep.
It's just the reality. So from a financial perspective, you're better off selling the home and moving into the condo.
Staying in the condo.
But that's not your only two alternatives. These aren't the only two places that you have a choice to live.
Another option, let's say she sold the condo.
Sold the house.
Well, no. Hold on here. Sold the condo, paid down the mortgage, refinanced the mortgage on the house to get a low interest rate, and worked on getting the house paid off in the next 10 years.
Right? Yes.
Now you're 71. Home's paid off. You got Social Security coming in.
Do a reverse mortgage.
A reverse mortgage.
That's a great point.
I would look at... if you could get your home, if you sold the condo and had your home paid off in 10 years, which you could probably do that once you dealt with this, then I'd look at what a reverse mortgage would provide for a 71-year-old with a $400,000
house. I'm going to go with this, because you want to be in that house, correct, B?
I do.
She does.
How are you?
So here's what I would
do. If you want to be in it, then you need to sell the condo.
Sell the condo, pay that down, refinance your first mortgage into a 10-year fixed rate mortgage, and just pay it off over 10 years, work the next 10 years. You'll be 71, go to retire. Your Social Security should be $2,000 plus a month gross, and then look at a reverse mortgage.
And if she shouldn't have a mortgage payment and get a reverse mortgage.
Correct. And we'll probably give you another $1,500 a month after that, $1,000 to $1,500 a month. I like that. I'll work with that. I would swing at that.
I think I can do that too. So yeah, that would be wonderful.
That's actually the
I would look either online or talk to somebody who does reverse mortgages and say, all right, pretend I'm 71 and I have a $400,000 house that's paid for. What kind of monthly income could that generate?
You don't have to talk to anyone. There's calculators all over the place. Please don't talk to a reverse mortgage salesperson.
Well,
save yourself the pain. Scott, you and I owned a reverse mortgage company. Did you ever want to talk to those people?
That's harsh. Come on.
They worked for us.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'm joking. I love those.
But you could just go online. There's a bunch of calculators. Just do reverse mortgage calculators. Pretend like you're 71, that your home's worth $400,000, and that
it's
paid.
It'll tell you how much money. You plug in how much you owe, put in zero, and it will tell you how much money.
And that accomplishes your – because Pete's goal is not to retire as soon as possible.
Correct. Her goal is to stay in that house.
Yeah. And we understand that.
I like that goal. I actually like it. And you could refinance in a 10-year fixed rate mortgage in the mid-2s.
That would be great.
Yep.
The mid-2s.
All right, B. We wish you well.
Do us a favor, B. Call back in two or three months and tell us
years or whatever. You would like to kind
of No. Sooner rather than later. You don't tell somebody to call me back.
Call me in 10 years.
Hey, listen, can't talk right now. Call me back in 2 years. You've never said that to anyone.
I will.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thanks, B. We wish you well. And 10 years from now, we'd like to hear.
10 years from now, I'll be 61.
You're not going to retire at 61.
Oh, no. Actually, I got to tell you. So we were dropping my son off at college 3 weeks ago. And my daughter, who's 17, was there. My son, who's 18. And my wife, and we're in Denver, and we're having a nice little restaurant. We're at a nice little Italian restaurant, and we're eating dinner. And my son says, so, Mom, I'm leaving. There's going to be one less kid for you to take care of. There's going to be three, you know, a lot less for you to do. What are you going to do? She said, I don't know. And then she turns to me, and she said, I think it would be a good idea if you worked more, Patrick.
No sense coming home at 5:30. Right. How about back in the early years when you're working until 9 o'clock every night?
Yeah.
I remember, Pat, when we started Hanson McLean, your wife would bring dinner quite often to the office. Very kind of her.
I never forget.
It was very nice of Kathy. Would bring us dinner because we'd both be working.
And she did.
I don't know how productive we necessarily were.
But she did the books for the business until we had our third child. Kathy and I had our third child. My wife is an accountant by education.
So we're talking about.
Wait, let me finish the story about my wife. I mean, okay. She's a marvelous lady.
Okay,
now go move on.
We started off the show talking about what's the number? How much does one need for retirement? And I think this last call perfectly illustrated how every situation is so different. And everyone's objectives are different.
And we never even talked about what her number is for retirement because you recognize that she has $40,000 saved up. And
she knows she's not going to retire at $40,000.
Yeah.
The objective is she got to work till age 70.
But what we use is the equity in her home to provide a retirement income, which is non-traditional.
And worst case, she has to sell the house somewhere down the road to make that happen. But really, when you look at how much somebody need saved, and we'll talk about that more throughout the program, every situation's a little bit different. 921-1530 if you'd like to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 921-1530. Or you can send us an email, questions@moneymatters.com. And let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Excellent.
Great. My question is, I refinanced my home in 2010, and I went with a HARP loan. And I went from a 25-year loan down to 15 or 25 years left of a 30-year loan. down to a 15-year loan. I got about 11.5 left.
At oh, great.
4.25% interest.
Okay.
I was paying an extra $600 a month to pay it off in 10 years, but a financial specialist said it'd be better to stay liquid, so I haven't been doing that. But, you know, we've got a little bit
but of money. Hold on. It'll be paid off in 11 years. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. And how old are you today?
I'm 55.
Okay.
Okay.
And I would like to retire at the age of 65, so I've got a 10-year plan. And I'm just curious if I should consider refinancing.
And what did you say the interest rate was? 4.25?
Yeah.
You know, I would actually look at a 10-year loan. And what's the value of the house?
It's about 280, and I owe about 200 on it, my wife and I do.
You know, actually...
Oh, so your payments are pretty large now.
Yeah, they're about 2200.
And what's your income?
I make about 100, and my wife makes about 25.
Okay.
She kind of works part-time, so.
You know, so I actually, and so when the advisor told you that you should remain liquid with this $600 a month, did he or she give you an alternative for that $600 a month?
Not really, just to put it in savings and to stay liquid because, you know, at that time, things were kind of volatile in the market.
Are you maximally using your 401k?
Yeah, we have about 130 in our combined in our IRA, and I'm contributing about $7,000 a year or so. My company matches, so.
Oh, okay. So,
and are you gonna either one? Are you gonna have any sort of pension?
Yeah. Well, nothing really. No.
So,
we kind of started late in life in savings, but we do have our IRA.
Okay, so here
some annuities.
An IRA and annuities. Why do you own an annuity?
My wife does.
Oh, is she a teacher?
No, we just got married about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And she had annuities about 5 or 6 years ago.
But you
don't buy any more annuities.
Yeah, please. You have a 401k that you contribute to. You said IRAs. Do you contribute to a 401k through your employer? You said you did.
No, it's actually a simple IRA.
Okay, so you work for a small company or you're self-employed?
Small company.
Got it.
Okay, got it. Here's what I would do. I actually would probably refinance into a 10-year fixed-rate mortgage. I would actually even look at a 7-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would. You're going to get
just look at you want to. You mean like a 10-year, a 30 due in 7, and amortize it over 10 years,
Amortize it over 7 years, or 30 due in 7, amortized over 7. If you could swing it, but he was making an extra $600
a month. I like the idea of getting your house paid off.
Yeah. So I think I would do a 30 due in 7. You were making the extra $600 a month payment towards the mortgage anyway, so you easily could swing it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Absolutely. So do a 30 due in 7 and then amortize the mortgage.
Is your wife contributing to an IRA?
No, not currently.
I would recommend that. I mean, because we kind of need to get the savings built up as well. I mean, if 10 years from now, you can have the home paid off, and if you could have
a couple $100,000 in your IRAs, then you'll be fine.
Well, yeah. It's still going to be, he's going to have a trouble. You're not going to be able to replace your income at 65 with.
Oh, at $100,000 a year. Correct.
$125,000 a year.
Correct. You're probably going to work till you're 70.
Yeah.
Eight.
I mean, 78.
No, I'm joking.
I hope not.
I mean, it might make sense for you to really work backwards and try to, because like I said, you started a little late and if your income is probably higher today than it was in previous years, it's really easy to get the lifestyle creep and suddenly we get used to a bigger lifestyle, which makes it even all the more difficult to fully retire in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
It might actually behoove you to sit with a good retirement advisor and really kind of map this thing out and say what's realistic.
At a minimum, you're going to refinance into a 10-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yeah, we like that idea. We both
like
that
idea. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, wish you well, Kevin. You. Enjoy the rest of the weekend and save for retirement. And I know we're big proponents, and not every financial advisor agrees with us on this, but we are big proponents of having a home paid off at retirement time. Just the less outflow you have during retirement, the less you need in savings. That's just, it works that way. So we got to take a quick break. 921-1530 if you would like to be part of the program. Again, 921-1530. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McClain.
Glad you're with us.
Kevin, our last caller, we talked about debt. Actually, the last two calls, we talked about debt. Isn't that funny? People, we're an investment advisory firm. That's what we do. We manage people's money. But
we're also financial planners. Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant.
Holistically, what we see that stops more people from retiring is not the size of the assets, the size of the debt.
Well, the problem with debt, the bill comes every month.
But not only...
It's not like you can say, well, let's cut back on going out to fancy dinners because we don't have the cash flow, or let's not do that trip we were planning this year because we don't have the cash flow. When you've got a mortgage payment hitting you every month, or a car lease hitting you every month, or whatever it is, that debt hitting you every month, it makes... you don't have the flexibility to make payments.
So the outflow... Money not going out is the same as money coming in. So I saw this classic situation this last week with a client that came in, and they had, what was the mortgage, $150,000 on their mortgage, mid-60s, ready to retire.
Yes.
And I looked at their portfolio, and they had Ginnie Mae's in their portfolio that were yielding less than what their interest rate was on the mortgage.
Were the Ginnie Mae's held inside a retirement account or outside a retirement
Outside. Of a retirement account.
So they're loaning to themselves, essentially.
Well, I said to...
but paying Wall Street along the way.
I said to him...
Ginnie Mae's Government National Mortgage Association.
Yeah, I said to him, so essentially what you have decided to do is to feed all the pigs at the trough.
That's exactly... All the financial people.
Yeah. People like me.
That's right. And Wall Street.
Everyone that
the
gets...
The traders. You see all the traders, things going on. Everybody.
I said everyone.
And the attorneys that put the stuff together.
I said there are people you would never even associate with that you are providing a livelihood with because you have this mortgage. And you theoretically have lent the money to yourself by owning this Ginnie Mae in your brokerage
account.
That's
kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah. And they said, oh, we don't like that. And I said, well, because it doesn't actually make any sense. So why don't we take the money in the Ginnie Mae, pay off the mortgage, quit feeding all the pigs at the trough, and... That is less money that you have going out every month, which is the same thing as more money coming in. And they said, that makes sense. And they said, why didn't we do this before? And I said, well, I hadn't met you before, so I don't know what your previous advisor was thinking. And then we went one step further. He had a couple rentals, and he owed money on the rentals. And he said, well, what about these? And I said, exactly the same thing. So we...
Well, it's not just money going out is the same as money
coming in.
Because most of the income you generate is going to be taxable.
Correct. And whether if your income's high enough, you lose the deductions.
Real estate, absolutely you do. But you've got, there's that the taxation you have to worry about as well. We are just big believers in trying to do everything you can to get out of debt. It just makes life simple. You don't have to worry about the stuff.
I don't know
anyone who's had a home foreclosed upon that didn't have a mortgage on it either. Don't know of a soul.
Mm-mm.
The only ones that benefited by large debt balances were the ones that were so underwater, and then they got some government bailouts on their...
Yeah, HARP programs.
Yeah, got some debt
smart,
reduction.
Whatever. It covered California. Well, that's healthcare. I get them so confused.
Whatever.
No, but it, now the state of California has gotten pressure. They're actually hiring. They are marketing to get rid of the money to help people with their homes because there are not enough people that actually qualify. So they're trying to find more people.
I've seen people with pension income, severance income, large income balances receive HARP money to pay their mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it wasn't necessarily based on need. It's all these other things.
Correct.
And they were almost sold it.
Well, actually.
Like the person like, I don't need it. Yeah, but you don't understand. You qualify.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Now
let's talk to Lori. Lori, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. What can we do for you?
Well, I actually, when I called in, had a twofold question. And I'm not quite sure how to phrase it, so I'll just put it out there.
Fire away.
I have a 401k, which doesn't have a lot of money in it. I am 57, and I'm not planning to retire anytime soon because I can't afford it.
Okay.
I also recently, this last year, because I was able to finally do it for the first time in my life, buy my own place to live.
Oh, that's nice. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. And it's actually a duplex. I own both halves of it, two-bedroom, two-bath, both sides. I live in one half with my son, and the other half is I'm renting to some older people who were already there.
Awesome.
They were having a hard time. They're going to be leaving soon, so hopefully we can split into a two-family dwelling someday.
Okay, so you don't want to live with your son anymore. Is that what you just... You could say it out loud.
Oh, no, I love him. But he's an adult, and I'm an adult, and,
okay.
You know, I'm taking care of my parents right now. They've been married 62 years.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah, and they're amazing parents, and I spend a lot of time...
So are they living with you?
Actually, I'm over at their house quite a bit. My sister and I take turns.
And what is their income situation look like?
They're retired military.
Okay. So, you know, you could get compensated for that through the state of California as a caregiver.
Well, my sister might be able to. She's a nurse who's not working.
It actually doesn't matter whether you're working or not working. It's the amount of time. So I just throw that in as a side. If you go to Sacramento County, do you live in Sacramento County?
I'm assuming Citrus Heights is Sacramento County.
That is correct. So if you go to Sacramento County's website, you can actually look up whether you or your sister could actually be compensated as a home. It's called caregiver income, and you can look at that. So that's an aside. That doesn't have anything to do with that. That's just a bit of information that your sister may want to look at. So your question for us is...
I've only got a little over $27,000 in my retirement. Before everything bottomed out a few years ago, I had about $38,000. It went down a little bit to like $6,000 or $7,000, and then it came back up because I've got it in Vanguard and I've got it distributed in like five different smaller funds in there.
Okay.
And usually, if one's down a little bit, I don't know how I figured this out.
It should have come all the way. It actually should have come all the way back.
It's on about 27 and a half right now because I borrowed against part of it.
Okay.
Pay off some things so I could get the duplex.
Got it.
And now
okay.
We're having a little bit of a hard time with money and a crunch with that because of that.
Okay.
And I still contribute 10% to my retirement. I haven't stopped that. It still comes out automatically to Vanguard. But I wanted to try to find a way to... try to have it come up a little bit more or a little faster or find a way to make this all work a little more easily and smoothly because I'm really having a tough time.
So here's what I want you, here's what I'd like you to do. Call our office on Monday and Scott's looking at me. Call our office on Monday. I'm going to ask you to email over your account statement, and we're going to allocate that 401k for you. All right. And so so call the office on Monday. Ask to speak to Eric Henry, and I'll send him a note that you'll be calling. And then he's going to have you email over your account statement. He will allocate that for you for the appropriate allocation for your age, because trying to do it over the radio on the phone, we don't know what your choices are. Vanguard may or may not be appropriate, but
right.
You can leave it at the 401k. We're going to give you the appropriate allocations for what is a risk return ratio that is appropriate for you.
Oh,
is that all right?
A risk group? Yes, exactly. That's
okay.
Something I was trying to look into.
Yeah, and the problem is the 401ks, quite frankly, our industry isn't really, people aren't really that interested because we cannot get, most of the times cannot get compensated when the money is held in the third party.
Let me ask about the duplex here, Lori. So your son's living with you now. The plan is for him to go to the other duplex?
Oh, no. He's living in one half of it. I own both sides.
And who's in the other half?
I'm the elderly couple who were there when we first bought it.
And they're moving out.
And then
they're
what?
They retired, and they're going to be moving out and moving to wherever they came from originally.
Okay.
They're from somewhere else.
And then you're going to rent it out to somebody else at that time.
Well, I'm going to move into the other half.
Got it.
Yeah. And if things are financially difficult now, would your son be paying the same rent that the older couple would?
He's actually paying more now than he was originally. The people who owned it work for Homeland Security, and they moved out of the state.
Got it.
And because they liked us and they liked my son, they wanted him to stay and wanted us to have it. So we worked really hard to get it. So that's what we're doing right now.
Well, good.
And I'm going to fix up a little bit of the other side when the other people move. Their son lost a leg in the war.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And because they're older, I wanted them to stay for a while till they got things handled.
Well, it sounds like you got the things going the right direction.
Yeah, so call us on Monday. Email us in your 401k statement. We'll allocate it appropriately for you. So appreciate the
Thank
call.
Thank you both. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. And it sounds like you're on the right track and all that sort of thing. Anyway, we are got to take a quick break here. 921-1530. Still have time for a couple questions. 921-1530. Or you can send us an email, questions@moneymatters.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about how much do you need for retirement. This is Hans McLean's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hans and McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
That's right. We're in our
final outer. Final quarter. It's like a
final
football
quarter.
Game. You know, I'm not a huge football fan, but I have a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old son that are massive.
Really?
They play fantasy football. I'm like, how about some fantasy grades there, son?
Oh, yeah. How about fantasy? Pick up your room, you bum.
Yeah, how about some fantasy? You're going to move out. But anyway, so I find myself watching a tremendous amount of football for me, which would be more than one game a week. And I actually am kind of enjoying it. I haven't historically watched it, and I'm kind of like it. I don't quite understand all the rules.
I don't understand. Come on. I don't watch a whole lot of football. I don't watch a lot of sports in general. I never really have watched that much.
Yeah.
I like watching the bigger matches here and there. I like going to the Kings game, actually. I enjoy being at live sporting events.
I like the Kings, too. But if they don't quit calling me, how they got my cell number is beyond me. They called me.
They probably want you to get a nice big suite. They're trying to do pre-orders.
My guess
is it's pre-orders on luxury boxes. And they think Pat McLean, big shot. Needs a big luxury
And what
suite.
I say to them is, Scott Hansen at our firm handles all that, and here's his cell number.
Yeah, right. Anyway,
Do we have season?
Not a big fancy suite.
But Hansen McLean does have some season. Do we? We used to.
We may. Not a lot.
Okay.
That's why don't you broadcast to the whole town? You need a seat, call Pat McLean. He's got season tickets.
No, we don't give them. They're for employees.
I think that we have two seats, and we only have a partial season because it's split with another individual.
Got it. Was I not supposed to broadcast?
I'm just wondering. Where's that dump button? How do we
reverse this?
I mean, we like to be generous and all, but
we are not.
We just don't have
First
that
of all,
many.
We don't try to... We don't.
Part of it.
There's regulatory issues about giving out.
It's big time.
There's regulatory issues about giving things to clients.
Absolutely. Hey, look, as a firm, Hansen McLean, we don't accept things from product manufacturers. So although we do business with many different financial firms, we don't take seasoned. We don't take sporting goods. We don't take meals. We don't take trips. It's really against our policies and our values. And
in return, we don't give them to our clients either.
Well, it's not like we got a bunch of stuff. Anyway,
it's not like we're rolling in season tickets.
Okay, enough. Let's move off this. It's not making us look. This isn't helpful for the image of Hansen McLean here. We do the show to help people, but also the 19 years of doing it. It's not too bad for business. So part of it is a little...
What are you trying to say?
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Listen.
We just said.
Actually, what we're saying is this. If you listen
Don't call Pat for season tickets.
Yeah,
for the
don't.
Kings.
Actually, yeah. But if you listen to the show and you can like us and you want some help with your finances, call us.
That's what we're good at. Anyway, we're talking about how much is really needed for retirement.
Number? What the age? What your age is? What's the number? And it's different for everyone.
I'll never forget a story. This was, I'd only been in the business a few years. I've been doing this 20-some odd years. I think I'd only been doing it a few years. And someone came in, they had a retirement offer, and they had like $180,000 to their name, owned nothing else. And the person was late 50s or something. And I said, wow, you know, if you look at, say, a 5% return or whatever the number was, you can expect not very much money a month, very little a month. And he said, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, what do you mean? That's plenty of money for me. I said, how are you going to survive on this? He says, well, I've got my medical taken care of for my company retirement. My brother's got some land on a river. He told me I could put a trailer on it. And he's got an old trailer. And I'm just going to go live on the river and be a hermit by myself for
years.
That
sounds awful.
That's what I thought. But it was one of those things that was a good lesson for me that said, look,
that wasn't,
everyone.
Wasn't you that was deciding you could live
right.
on that. It was them.
That's right. And when it comes to retirement, there's a lot of, you look at these studies, say you need 85% of your pre-retirement income, that sort of stuff. There are a number of retirees that have much less income than that during retirement. And for them, they say, that's fine. I'm willing to have a lower standard of living in retirement from a financial standpoint if I can retire. It's worth it to them. They say, look, I can't go out to the nice meals as often as I used to. I can't take the same kind of trips as I used to. But I don't care because I don't have to go to work every day.
It works for them.
There's others who say, look, I like my job. I don't mind my job. If I'm going to be retired, I want to be able to do all these other things that I haven't been able to do during my working years. And they might need additional income during their retirement years. So I think the important thing for yourself is figuring out what are those things and whether or not you plan on retiring, making sure you're in a position so that you can be ready to retire if you're forced into it.
That's correct. What is the number? What is that number that says, hey, I can do this today if I had to?
What's the number?
Don't know.
Okay.
Here's what the number is. Here's what the number is.
Here's how you can get to the number.
Right. So the number is, take your income now. Take your income now. And if you're maximizing your 401k contributions and you're paying into Social Security, subtract 22% from that. Just off
the
bat. Yeah.
So let's just make it. Let's say your family income is $100,000.
All right. So okay. If you're maximizing, if you're putting 15% into your 401k and 7.65% actually goes to Social Security, then it's 22.65%.
Let's just call it 22.
We'll call it 22. So now you're actually living on $78,000 a year, right?
Uh-huh. Let's assume we have a mortgage payment.
All right. So figure out what that mortgage payment is and whether you could pay the mortgage off in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, or you have the money sitting in an after-tax account, a brokerage account, savings account to actually pay off the mortgage.
Let's say your mortgage payment's $20,000 a year.
Okay.
$1,900 or whatever.
Let's say that you get rid of the mortgage.
So if now there's $20,000 a year that's been going out, we don't have going out. Now, instead of $78,000, we're at $58,000.
So effectively, if you left the workplace and you got rid of your mortgage, then you effectively are living on $58,000 a year now.
That's right.
Right. So then you say, okay, are there any other debts that are going to go away? Quite frankly, what you'll find is transportation cost, clothing.
Yeah, if you have a car loan now, you're going to have a car loan later.
That's fair. But most people spend some portion of their income actually just being presentable to work. But we're not even going to work that in there. So now you need to make up $58,000.
Now you got to ask yourself, are there other expenses going to go away? And are there going to be new expenses incurred? And this is different for everybody because some people say, look, my kids live here, this state. I want to be able to visit them 3 times a year. Or we've always talked about doing these trips. We want to be able to do these trips over these periods
of
time.
So you work that into the number. So we're going to just go with $58,000 a year. So then you take a look at your Social Security, how much it will be, and your spouse's Social Security. And let's say you're both eligible for Social Security. You're 65 years of age right now. And between those two Social Securities, you're going to receive $3,000 a month in income.
That was the number I was going to use, $36,000 a year.
$36,000 a year. So now you're at $22,000. So to have the exact same standard of living, you need to make up $22,000 a year in income. Let's assume that your retirement account, you take a 4.5% distribution.
Okay.
How much money do you need in that retirement account to generate
$500,000.
Right? And for that person, that is the number. it's 500,000. So it's fluid. So if you're six,
and let's say this person doesn't have, let's 500,000, they've got 350. They might choose to have a slightly higher withdrawal today than they would otherwise because their home's paid for, and say, look, 10 or 15 years from now, if things don't work out as
well,
I'll
do a reverse mortgage.
I'll use a reverse mortgage at that time.
So when we meet with a client, when we meet with a client that is ready to retire or a few years from retirement, it's a simple process that we actually go through with them. And then you put it out on the table and say, you can do this, this, or this. Either you
normally
can save
you can't
more,
have it all.
You can save more, you can spend less, but this is the number. You're either going to hit it or not hit it, or, you know, 20% of the time, we just tell clients, look, it's your call whether you retire or not. You can leave today.
Yeah, and
you can leave today. I met with someone last week. I said, you get a 3% rate of return, you will not notice any difference in your lifestyle if you take a 3% distribution off your accumulated assets. And actually he said, I hate my job, but I'm not ready to quit. You know what I did? I started a monthly distribution to him of that 3%. So I said, the day you wake up and don't want to go to work, you can.
And I think part of this is not because we have a goal to see that people retire as soon as they can financially, because that doesn't make sense for everybody. But it's to have everyone be in a position so that they can be retirement ready. And retirement does... Look, Social Security, it said something, it's like 73% of people retire earlier than they had planned because of external forces.
Correct.
Things such as maybe your company is moving.
Or your spouse gets sick, or you get sick, or you're taking care of a parent or a child, or so many things. Yes.
Lots of things that happen that tend to push people into retirement earlier than possible, which is why... we really talk about the importance of being retirement ready. And
if you want more information regarding this,
the number, as Pat said,
go to our website, moneymatters.com. There's articles that we've written about this particular subject, moneymatters.com.
Or just the Hanson McLean website has a bunch of those things as well. So moneymatters.com or hansonmclean.com, and you can get all kinds. Look, actually, I just clicked on Money Matters, and there's Pat at the podium.
Oh, is that on the
good
website?
I like it. There it is. You look like a real businessman in a suit and all.
Oh,
that.
My gosh. I saw that picture. I look old.
You are old.
I know.
No, just kidding. Anyway.
I look like the old Irish guys I used to look like. That looks like an old Irish guy.
You're not quite there, but you're becoming it. Lord willing, right? Who knows what tomorrow brings. Anyway, we are out of time. Hanson McLean comes here every weekend, Saturdays from 10 to 11. We broadcast Sundays from 2 to 3. You can learn more about Hanson McLean by visiting our website, hansonmclean.com. And while you're there, you can get a podcast. Sign up for a podcast of this program delivered to you each week if you would like as well. So enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean Advisors, Money Matters.